You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Relationship Talk on 702.
17 minutes after 11 o'clock. Let's get into our relationship and sex feature now. This is Adult Radio. Today we're discussing sex with other people in the house. Maybe you live with your kids or your parents, maybe. Maybe you've got friends in the house, whatever the home setup is. You know, and I know some people feel like it's disrespectful and awkward to have sex with people in the house. But you can't just put your sex life on hold, your intimacy on hold with your partner, right? Just because there are people in the house. So what can you do to make sex easier when you have people living with you? How do you ensure living with other people doesn't affect your relationship and sex life? Right? That's the discussion that I want us to have. I want you to give me calls on 011-883-0702. You can send us your WhatsApp messages on 072-702-1702. And the SMS line is 31702. Please give me a call. How do you deal with it as a parent, as partners? Maybe you're not married. Maybe you are married. How are you having sex when your children are around the house? How do you navigate that? Bongani Bingo asked me a question that I should put to my guest, and I'll bring in the guest shortly. And the question was, what happens even when the children find you, or whoever you live with finds you in the house, right? Right in the act. What happens in that scenario? And I want our guests to help us understand how you can make sex easier when you've got kids living with you, when you've got your parents living with you, when you've got your loved ones sharing a home with you, because that can be a tricky one. So please give me your calls. Send me your WhatsApp voice notes as well. I want to hear what your experiences are. Maybe you've got tips for other parents or other partners, right, that live with other people in the house. How do you ensure that living with other people doesn't affect your relationship and sex life? Because it can, right? It can, because you're constantly thinking about the children that are in the house. You don't want to traumatize your children, right? So what you do then is you need to find ways to navigate that. I'm going to go to your lines. I'll go to your voice notes as well. I see many of them are already coming through. We've got Dr. Elna Rudolph, who is the head of the World Association of Sexual Health. And Dr. Rudolph has been here before on our relationship and sex feature, and she's going to guide us through this discussion. I'll be playing your voice notes and taking your calls as we go along. Dr. Rudolph, welcome back.
Thank you, Clement. I'm so sorry if I kept you waiting. For some reason, my service provider just knocked out.
Yeah.
At the moment, I had to be on. So, but you're lucky there are other plans to be made. So, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for making time. So, what can you do to make sex easier when there are people that you live with in the house?
It's extremely important that other people should not be exposed to sexual content without their permission. So, you have to be very, 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 very careful that other people don't actually know that you're having sex. And I know that it is much easier said than done, because many people live in the same room as other people. And if that is the case, you need to try and have sex when those people aren't home, preferably. That's the number one choice. You know, if it's adults. If it's children, you can do it when they are asleep, but it is better to, you have to make sure that they are really asleep, and you have to keep an eye on it if they might wake up. Because if a child gets exposed to sexual content, it's actually seen as sexual abuse. Children, I speak to adults about sex all the time, and they are often extremely traumatized by the sex that they were exposed to as children. And you know what, when it's more traumatic for children is when it is a mother, a biological mother, who's having sex with somebody that's not their biological father.
Yeah.
It's an interesting observation that if it's mommy and daddy, The child has much less of a tendency to perceive that as violence. But if it's another man having sex with mommy, the children often perceive it as violence. And because we as adults are so uncomfortable to talk to children about what has happened, we often just don't say anything. And we leave it up to the children to make their own assumptions as to what was happening there. And, you know, there's moaning and groaning and it just doesn't look like a typical consensual activity that kids are exposed to generally. So they often make assumptions that there's something wrong about it. And then when they see the parents' reactions to the fact that they found, you know, that they saw this or that they were caught out kind of thing, when they see the reaction, then they can see how uncomfortable the parents are about what has happened there or the adults. So they make further assumptions. Then they think that what they were doing was wrong. And it looks like it might have been painful, you know, and then the overvalued ideas that these children then develop in their brains predispose them to all kinds of things as adults: anxiety, depression, eating disorders, certainly sexual dysfunction. So we really have to be very, very careful not to expose children to sexual content.
So how does living with other people then affect that relationship and sex life? Because whether you like it or not, you, as you say, we have to be quite considerate. Maybe wait until the kids are not around or your parents, whoever you share that home with. So how do you then ensure that living with these other people and sharing the space with them doesn't then affect negatively your relationship, your intimacy, your sex life?
You know, in countries like Brazil, China, where people are used to living in small spaces, but where there's a little bit more resources, people actually will go and rent a room to have sex. It's standard. You know, you have these hotels where you can easily rent a room to go and have sex. And many people are used to doing that because it's so extremely expensive to live in those cities. Everybody's living with other people, but people know that they can't have sex in front of people, so they do it like that. And if you have rooms in your home where you can have sex and can be private, then you have to lock the door definitely. And if you're living with other adults, there's absolutely no reason why that adults can't have a conversation with each other and saying, listen, there's one separate room. We're going to have sex at that and that time or that and that day. And, you know, please make sure that we have privacy. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You should actually be doing that. And even when they are children, children need to understand that parents need privacy from time to time. It's an extremely important concept that children need to be used to, that everybody has the right to privacy. I try to teach it to my children now already when I'm like, you know, as a mom, you literally never go to the loo alone. There's always a child that bangs on the door when you try to go to the loo. But now I teach them that, no, I want privacy, please. And privacy is my right. And it's your right too. If you want privacy, you can also have privacy, because it's literally a human right, is privacy. So children should know that there are times that their parents want to be private, and they shouldn't see it as threatening or that there's something wrong, you know, because if parents go like...
Sorry,
go for it.
Oh, sorry, Dr. Rudolph. I wanted to say, should you talk to the children about it, or even your parents, whoever you're sharing the space with, or maybe even do things that familiarize them to your need for that space? So the constant, I mean, not extreme and perverse touching around in the house, but, you know, be intimate with your partner in front of the kids, in front of the parents, with limitations, of course, to what's acceptable, so that they know that mommy and daddy, you know, they kiss, and sometimes they will need a private moment to take forward whatever the intimate moment they had started in the shared space.
Yes, I'm a very big fan of exactly what you have described there, because so your kids should absolutely know that you have sex, but they should never see it, certainly never see it. And they don't have to know that you are doing it right now. It is a little bit awkward for everybody. Yeah. I mean, for us as adults, if we know somebody's having sex in their room next door, it is a bit awkward. Yeah. So, you know, it's not something, and that's exactly your right to privacy. You have the right to do it under circumstances where other people not only not see you, but aren't aware when there are people in the house. And therefore, you know, making a rule with anything in your life, if you can have a discussion once off that sets a rule that you don't have to have a discussion frequently. For instance, you are living with other people. You ask them, listen, guys, on Sunday mornings, would you mind to go and grab a coffee outside so that we can have some privacy?
Yes.
Okay. And you negotiate and they say, no, they can't do Sunday mornings, but okay, they'll do Sunday afternoons. You're like, great, fantastic. So you don't have to ask every Saturday, listen, guys, will you please remember to go out? Or, you know, when you now want to have sex, you have to go and ask everybody, will they go out? Mm. That's very uncomfortable. So you're rather getting to a rhythm where, you know, on Thursday, on Saturday afternoons or whatever it is, you will have the privacy. That's when you negotiate with adults.
Yeah.
With children, if your children are older, you do the same thing. I mean, many parents have that kind of thing of such a Sunday after dinner. my gym instructor said to me this morning, they put Vaseline on the knob. You know, that's what you need to do so the kids can't open the door. But I think it's better to on the doorknob, doorknob. I'm talking about that knob now. But it's better if young people are in the rhythm. I mean, my kids are 2 and 4, so I can't really get them into knowing exactly what will happen on a Sunday evening. But they do get into rhythms quite easily, so that when it is Sunday after dinner, then you're not allowed to come into your mom and daddy's room. You cannot say it's because we want to have sex. You know, most people will say it's because we're sleeping. But to come back to your comment, is it good that people know that you are intimate? It's not people, your children. It's amazing. It's the best example that you can set for them, that you as an adult are in a consensual, loving relationship where you experience sexual pleasure. And it is just beautiful. That's exactly the values that you want your children to know, that and you can teach them that, you know.
Yeah.
So I really think it's important that they know that there is some form of intimacy between you and your partner.
Yeah, Matsidiso, you calling us from the Val. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm better, thank you. Clement, I stay in the Val in a 2-bedroom flat, right? And I don't know how to approach this to my husband, and I'm glad that this topic came up today. What happens is he's very close to his sister. Very close in the sense that they had a background growing up as the only kids and no parents. I understand that. Now, the sister got sick. No, the person who came first was the son of the sister. He came to stay with us because he had to come and study. And we don't have kids, so I'm watching, he's watching. We're like, okay, there's a teenage boy in the house going to study. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then the sister got sick. And given that I could not travel as the Makoti in the family now, go and take care of the sister down in Free State, I then said, no, it's fine, let the sister come this time so that it's also not expensive.
Yes.
And taking care of the sister till now, since last year, February, and we are stuck with both of them in the house. And trust me, the sex life has never been the same ever since. So at times I would suggest to my husband to say, can we have a weekend away? She is getting better. And there were days where I even had to share the bed with her for about weeks simply because she was not well. You understand? And now I don't know how to approach this to my husband. It's really emotional because I do need some me time with him.
Yes.
And let's get it together again. We don't even have kids as of yet. And nothing is being discussed. So I just wanted to find out, how do I go about it? How do I handle the situation with a sister, with a son, teenage son, and me and my husband? And we work, we come back late, both of us. You gotta figure out what needs to be done.
Thank you for calling us, Matsidiso. Good luck. I'll get Dr. Rudolph to respond and give you advice on how you can handle the situation. I'll get more of your calls after the latest in Eyewitness News headlines.
Relationship issues.
Relationship talk.
On 702.
It's 24 minutes before 12 o'clock. We're talking about sex when you've got other people living with you. You're sharing the space with them. Are you comfortable having sex with other people in the house? How do you have sex when you have even kids or your parents or you're living with relatives in the house. I want to know how you go about making this work and navigating it, because sometimes it can affect your intimacy, right? It can affect your sex life with your partner. We're speaking to Dr. Elna Rudolph, who's a sexologist, and I'm going to go to your lines on 011-883-0702. Dr. Rudolph, just respond to Matsidi So, who says that she's living with her husband's sister. She gave us context and says at the end of the day that has affected the intimacy with her husband. How does she raise it with her husband?
Yeah, I didn't get exactly how sick, because it sounded like the sister-in-law was sick and that there's also actually a child, a teenage child there. How I would address it is to ask my husband, I would engage in a conversation with him and suggest that we ask her and the son to leave the house at certain stages. So I'm not 100% sure exactly how difficult it is for her to leave the house. Maybe it's impossible, but to ask the son, you know, if they could go like to the shopping center every Saturday morning or something like that, so that there is a reliable time where they know that they can just have privacy. And, you know, you don't want like 5 minutes of privacy. You need time. People need time to be intimate and make love. It is quite exciting to open the shower, for instance, and quickly have sex in the shower. That's very exciting. But a couple generally cannot sustain a long-term intimate relationship on those stolen little quickies. So best is to pre-arrange and make sure that you guys actually have privacy, or see if there is an alternative arrangement that can be made now. It sounded to me like she alluded to the sister's probably well enough to leave, and maybe it's just becoming very, 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 very comfortable to stay there, and that it's, you know, that she's overdue to leave now. And if that's possible, then of course, fantastic. But if it isn't, try and get them out of the house at a reliable time. And then also people try and do it while the shower is open, or they do it like in the middle of the night when other people are very likely to be fast asleep. That works. And the other thing that you can do is to get into a rhythm where you do the same thing every night. So let's say every night at 8:30, she and the husband goes to their room and they put on music every single night. They do the same thing, so that when they actually do want to have sex at that times, it's not that awkward, you know, because if like the other people in the house can see, oh, they're taking candles to the room and ooh, there the music goes on and, you know, they're doing something out of the ordinary, everybody feels awkward about it. Whereas if it is kind of a ritual and they know that every night there's music playing in that room, then which is much easier to muffle the sounds, because you can have sex pretty quietly. You know, you don't have to be loud when you have sex. So you can have sex with somebody in the room next door.
Yeah.
And all of those things are possible.
Yeah. Someone says, in fact, talking of being quiet, Dr. Rudolph, one of our listeners says here, but silent sex sometimes is perfect, but I wouldn't like scheduling intimacy because I want it to be spontaneous. So, I mean, it's a fair point, right? I mean, if you're scheduling it, it takes away from that, you know, that lovely spontaneity.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think everybody wants spontaneous sex, but scheduled sex is better than no sex at all. So what typically happens is the one person in the partnership is comfortable to have sex with somebody in the room next door and the other one isn't. So the one that is keeps on trying to initiate and the other one keeps on saying no, 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 no. And that results in relationship difficulties because the one feels pushed and the other one doesn't feel valued. Their needs are not being met. So if you have a conversation with it and you rather schedule it, then not do it at all. If there isn't something concrete that you can do about it, like, you know, like the thing of putting on music every night, leaves more room for spontaneity to do it than only on the nights that you want to do it. But it's a big problem. I mean, that's a problem not only with having people in the home, it's a problem with all kinds of other sexual problems that might happen. And an interesting thing, Clement, is that some people are hell of a excited by the idea of having other people in the house when they have sex, you know, or the
sex.
Idea of possibly being, yes, yes. the fact that they could possibly be caught out or possibly be observed. It's actually speaks right into their sexual arousal templates, and they like that idea, but they will typically be then with a partner who's the opposite of that, you know, who needs to have the perfect environment in order to become aroused. So it works for some, it works well for some, and for others, it doesn't work at all.
Yeah. Let's listen to some of the voice notes coming through on 0727021702.
Hi, Clement. Hi, guys. We live in small houses that are not properly insulated. Even if you have your separate bedroom, unabantwana endlini, the noises that come out of the bedroom, you can tell when someone is intimate nomuntu. So it's very tricky. Like almost you have to keep quiet and find positions that don't make noise. Yeah. Like, sure, it's such a tricky situation. But you try and, you know, make it work and work around it, I guess. But it's very tricky.
Yeah, it can be a lot of admin.
I have a good tip. If you have children, you buy them each a box of Smarties, and then you throw the Smarties on your lawn. That will give you a good 15 minutes at least. Privacy, do your thing.
We are making love, and especially if those kids, they are at a particular age, maybe they're heading towards being teenagers. If their parents are engaging in, I cannot shy away from kissing my partner or being intimate with my partner because of kichaba or bana, but as long as I'm doing that in a respectful way, can respect the boundaries and in a private way. But the possibility of them hearing us is always there.
Good morning, Clement. I think the best way of doing it without offending anyone, let's say if it's adults, after maybe you're going to be going out with your wife to your room now, it's time to go to your room, you just joke about it so that it's like you giving them a heads up. But then if it's kids, I think with kids you'll have to make sure that either they're sleeping or they are not anywhere near the room that you are going to be sleeping in. I think that will be the best option. Thank you.
Good morning, 702 Land. When we want to be intimate, we are both 58 years old. If any of my kids happen to be around, because they all got their own places, I just tell them we're going to discuss the budget, and they know about this from when they were small, so then they either go or they laugh and say, you guys haven't stopped yet. it's my house and our time is our time. Thank you. This is anonymous.
That's a good TV. Dr. Rudolph, we're going to discuss the budget, right?
Excellent. Everybody actually knows what they're going to do. As the kids get older, they understand that, but that it is, we often do it like that to use like a metaphor or something, and it works very well. You do not have to say, we are going to have sex now, because people tend to feel uncomfortable because of that. And this guy, what he did is the exact right thing. From the time that his kids were little, they knew that him and their mother are being intimate, and it's beautiful. And it lasted. That it sounds like that relationship lasted a lifetime, and it is absolutely fantastic. So good for you.
So you mentioned earlier that, you know, there's sneaky sex as well. It can be hot for other people, right? There are people that are fascinated by this idea that, you know, there's nothing like knowing that you could be, you know, you could get busted at any time.
Yes.
You know, and that gives you that adrenaline, you know, pumping, and makes you feel like, you know, you're a total, you know, you're a badass, so to speak. What about the parents, though, who've got that fear of getting caught? How do you get over the fear of getting caught? So maybe they don't like sneaky sex, but they do it because of the circumstances, but they don't get to enjoy the sex because they constantly thinking, my goodness, if my mom walks in here, if my sister walks in, or my child, and that thinking and that fear somehow disrupts that moment.
Yes. And it happens all the time. I talk to adults about that on a regular basis. Because especially women, you know, we have so many things in our brain that can make it difficult for us to become sexually aroused. The shopping list, for instance, if the ceiling is dirty, anything can take away our attention from our arousal. And if that is the case, I try to explore with them about what is it that is so unbelievably shameful about having sex with your partner. You know, if your mom knew you're having sex with this guy, what is so shameful about it? Because most often it's your own husband or it's your partner that you're living with. So your mom must know that you're having sex with them, and there is actually absolutely nothing wrong with the fact that you're doing it. And sometimes people just need to give themselves permission to know that it's actually okay, even if you get caught out. But then a lock. You know, really a lock. You need to have a lock on your door, if at all possible. If you're not sharing one room with other people, you need, I mean, like literally all sleeping in the same room, you need to have a lock on that thing so that you can keep people out, so that they have to, you physically have to go and unlock the door before they can come in. I really advise people to do that if they have children in the house. Even if you think that the child is asleep, you need to physically lock your door so that they don't walk in on you, because of the way, even if you don't find it embarrassing, it can potentially traumatize the other person, and you are, it's their right not to be exposed to whatever it is that you're doing, you know. So people should always knock and ask before they come into any room, definitely. But, you know, people don't always do that. But it's the conversations are important. And I want to come back to what one of the earlier comments was about, you know, your teenager will be exposed to it and they must just kind of accept it. And but I have a conversation with them about it, because I so often talk to people who tell me that they could hear their dad having sex with girlfriends and it really traumatized them. So the dad should go and say, you know, yesterday this and this person was here, or if it was their own mom and dad, you know, yesterday we were having some fun in the bedroom. Did you hear that? Or what did you hear from our, what do you think happened between us last night? Or whatever, you know, just open up the conversation and let the child, a very good way to answer a child's question is always to say, what do you think? It's a very good way, you know, because let's say the child brings it up. The child says, mommy, what was happening behind that in your bedroom last night? What do you think was happening there? And then they bring up their fears like that, and you can talk about it. And what you can advise them to do is, if you're hearing sounds that come from our room that make you feel a bit uncomfortable, switch on your radio. You know, so you give the child a way to deal with it. Or why don't you, if you hear something that's some sounds that's coming from our bedroom that make you feel uncomfortable, nothing to be uncomfortable about, by the way, but sometimes it's just not that nice to hear that people are having fun without you or something like that. Why don't you go and play outside for a while? Or why don't you put your headphones on and play some TV games? Or so you give the child something to do to remove them from the situation, because what happens is that child is lying in bed most often, because it happens after children go to bed typically, and then they get exposed to what feels to them ages of this, and they've got nowhere to go because they know that they're not supposed to, you know, play music late at night or stuff like that. So you have to, through the conversation and through knowing your child and your particular situation, help that child to find a way to get out of it. And of course, offer the reassurance that it is consensual, it's pleasurable, although it might sound maybe sometimes like it's hurting, it isn't, and all of those positive things, because the ideas that children develop around the negative aspects of sex are so damaging, so unbelievably damaging to them as adults. It ruins relationships and people's lives. It's important that they get positive messages about sex.
Yeah, let's listen to some inputs from our listeners.
Hi, Kim and Noni here. Thoroughly enjoying this conversation about how to have sex with people in the house. Just thinking about all the generations previously in their four-roomed houses and the way we all grew up. Our parents must have had to be very innovative.
Yeah, it must have been really tough, hey?
Morning, Clement. The issue is simple. Just put the volume of the radio up, and or if you have TV, put the volume for TV up. They won't hear anything. You do your things, finish and clear. Run in, run back.
Hey, some kids are attentive listeners.
Morning, Manyathela, Manyathela. It's China's year. Look, man, when coming to making love in front of children or whatsoever, and children are here, it's a problem, because when they go to a daycare or at grade R, they will be looking forward to practice what they saw their parents doing to other children. Thank you.
We have a huge house, very huge, like a 10-bedroom house. And on top of that, we have like 4 kids. You know what? We don't know how to keep them away. It's like they know. They just know. No matter what time it is, you're going to have someone knocking on your door. Whether it's 2 a.m., 12 p.m., 9 a.m., it's like Batseba. Like they know. Those parents are up to no good. You hear, mommy, mom, daddy, on the door.
Hey, good morning, Clement. Well, this is an interesting topic. Well, look, whenever me and my wife visit my parents in Mpumalanga from Joburg, to avoid a lot of things and a lot of sounds, we just do it on the floor.
Sure.
The floor is quiet. And you just avoid a lot of things, and obviously you're not going to be as comfortable as you are in your own bedroom when you're home, but it does the trick.
I hope your backs are okay.
Cool.
Oh dear. So, Dr. Rudolph, where do you start the conversation in an instance where the kids actually catch you in the act? Because that can really be, as you said earlier, if it's the mother having sex with someone who's not their biological father, or the other way around, maybe it's a boyfriend, that can be violent on the kids, and they can make their own associations from that scene. So how do you start a conversation with the children when they've caught you in the act, whether it's with their biological father, biological mother, or someone out?
You must tell yourself now already, if ever my kids are going to catch me during sex, I'm going to have at least 5 conversations with them about it, literally, because it takes a time for them to process it, and they might develop more questions over time, and they don't necessarily, you know, if you tell yourself, okay, I'm now going to take 30 minutes and I'm going to talk to them about it, they might only have 1 question at that point, but then maybe 2 days later, they want to ask you something else again. So it might need a few conversations. Do not look like you were caught out when they catch you. Okay.
What, it's difficult. Just continue?
Do not look guilty. No. Don't just continue. Remember, it's illegal.
Yeah.
It's illegal what that guy was commenting on, that the kids, if they see you do it, they will go and do it at school. Mm. It's illegal for children to see you have sex. Really illegal. You cannot let your children watch you have sex. But I mean, if it accidentally happens, you need to stop doing what you're doing and try not to look too guilty, because the children see the guilt and the fear in your eyes, and they make assumptions about it. So stop. You know, if nudity is normal in your family, you don't need to cover up. If your children are not used to seeing you naked, cover up, especially if the person that you're with is not their parent. And, you know, but don't be too rushed about it. Just, you cover up and you say, oh, come in, or go out. you know, and, you know, if then finish up what you do, if you're 100% certain that you are private. For most people, that's a bit of a passion killer. But then, as soon as possible after that, go out when you're fully clothed and relaxed, and go and have a conversation with that child and tell them. And a good way to start is, you might have noticed that we looked a bit uncomfortable when you came in there. What do you think happened there? That's a good way to start, you know? And then the child might say, oh, you guys were having sex. And I was like, oh, yes, that's right. We were having sex. And then you can have a conversation about, you know, sex is something
that belongs in a place where there is full consent between two adults, and you know, depending on the values that you also want to give your child. It's sometimes it's difficult because you're teaching your child that sex is something that belongs in marriage, for instance, but now you're having sex with your boyfriend, you know? So then there's more of a conversation about that, about how, although we have this set of values, mommy is not acting according to those values. And what does that mean? Does it mean I've been lying to you? No, you know, adults can make decisions about things, and that's fine. And it's fully consensual. And no, mommy did not get hurt, and mommy wants to do this, and there's pleasure in it. But this is adult pleasure, so important. So you don't tell a child that it's wrong, or that you should actually not say anything negative about it, because if they are being abused, they don't want to tell you about it because you told them that it's wrong and now this is happening to them. So they're not going to tell you if they're doing something wrong. So telling children that it's wrong is really not the right word. You have to tell children over and over again that sex is something that happens between adults with full consent and it's pleasurable. That's what children need to know about sex, really, because if something different then happens, so, oh, we're children and we're doing it. No, it's not for children, it's for adults. And, oh, no, I didn't give consent to that. Even if you're my boyfriend, I didn't give consent to that. And mommy says sex is always consensual. You know, so those are the important conversations. I think it's almost kind of a good thing if it happens, if they walk in on you, because it's a fantastic then opportunity for you to have a conversation about it.
Yeah, it opens up that conversation. Dr. Elna Rudolph, sexologist, thank you so much for joining us. You're always brilliant in guiding us through this discussion.